This is Frank Mandolini, and this is the Last Minute Wrestling Podcast. Hello everybody and welcome to episode number 46 of the Last Minute Wrestling Podcast. As always, I am your host from Italy, Frank Mandolini. And today we have our first ever guest from Austria, well, technically now from Germany. I'm talking about Robert Dreisker, as known as WXW head coach Avalanche. But before we go, I must remind you that today's episode is presented by Purple Carrot. Purple Carrot is the plant-based subscription meal kit that makes it easy to cook irresistible meals to fuel your body. Each week, choose from an expansive and delicious menu of dinners, lunches, breakfasts, and snacks. Every box is an opportunity to learn and experience something new with easy recipes and fresh proportioned ingredients. No shopping, no food waste, just a globally inspired restaurant-quality plant-based meal. Get $30 off your first box by going to purplecarrot.com and entering the code PODGO30 at checkout today. That's PODGO30 for $30 off your first Purple Carrot box. Purple Carrot, the easiest way to eat more plants. Also, you can find the Last Minute Wrestling Podcast on every social media platform just by typing in at LMWPodcast. And coincidentally, incredibly so, you can find us also on the website lmwpodcast.com. Remember to check our sponsors, superkicks.com, sbrkix.com, grabsapparel.com, and themerchstand.co.uk. In all of those places, by typing in last minute at checkout, you will get a sweet, sweet 20% discount. Shout out to all of my LMW podcast listeners, including a podcast from Italy about AEW. It is called AEW Italia. You should check that out on every platform. They are providing great, great insights for every episode of AEW Dynamite and more. Shout out also to my friends Ringsiders Podcast. And to a couple of lads on YouTube who are retro-reviewing many wrestling pay-per-views, I'm talking about the YouTube channel Chat, Crapple and Cheap Pops podcast. Go and check Chris and JB and tell them that Frank sent you. Did I do all of the shoutouts? Well, probably not, because I tend to forget many, many names. But it's time for us to go to the interview with Avalanche, as known as the head coach of WXW Academy over in Germany, Robert Dreisker.
Thanks for having me. I'm doing fine as far as this whole Corona situation allows it. But yeah, I'm a very, very positive person, so I'm doing good.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I've been talking about you with Alexander James a couple of episodes ago, and since I want to focus mainly this show on the European wrestling, on what we have here in Europe, and what we can showcase to the world also. So it's a great pleasure to have you here and to talk about your job in WXW as a now currently we are seeing you in the Catch Grand Prix at WXW, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So can you explain me how does it work? How this tournament works?
Well, basically it's an old school tournament, if you want to use that term. It's basically done like wrestling was done in Europe, or at least in Germany, and for decades basically. The matches are round based. It's 3-minute rounds, 5 rounds In total, there's yellow and red cards. So it's a very sporty presentation. And so far, I don't know when this is going to be released, but so far, we're in week five of the Catch Grand Prix, and yeah, I really enjoy it, and I think all the talent does so as well, and I hope, of course, that the fans are all also enjoy the product.
We've seen a comeback of such round-based matches lately with the on NXT UK with the Heritage Cup, and which has been really nice to see that that thing that is really really eradicated in, inside the European wrestling history. Is that a thing that WXW does every year, or it has been something that came out of necessity, maybe even for this wild year we're having?
No. So it was the first. It was or is the first episode or however you want to call it of the Catch Grand Prix. In the years prior, WXW had the World Tag Team Festival. So, but this year, they figured they would try something new. So it would have been the Catch Grand Prix anyways over 5 days. In Oberhausen, but yeah, due to the pandemic, it wasn't. Yeah, we couldn't do it as planned, but I'm happy that we still got to do it anyway.
I can imagine that. And it has even an interesting format, or at least how it is proposed, because it's just we can see just one match per day, each day, right?
Yeah. So from Monday to Saturday, there's a match released every day, and on Sundays, you can basically get all the matches at once. So you can either you can choose if you want to consume like one match every evening while you're having your meal maybe or whatever after you came home from work. Or you can also just sit on the couch on a Sunday and watch it all in one sitting. So, yeah, I think it's a nice concept, and it looks like that people are enjoying this as well. Of course, this would be nothing that you could do over a whole year or anything, because then I think at least video production would get crazy, I guess, if they would have to release every day. But for the Catch Grand Prix, I think it's a cool little thing.
It's a cool concept, and at the moment, if I'm not mistaken, you have 5 points in your block, and your next match that we're gonna see on December the 2nd. It's against Bobby Guns, which is the WXW World Champion.
Exactly, yeah.
How are you going to to prepare for that match?
Well, basically, like for every other match as well. I mean, of course, Bobby is known for his for his wrestling abilities, but also for taking shortcuts. And yeah, a guy who can wrestle and is willing to take shortcuts whenever they occur is a dangerous mix, but yeah, I've been doing this long enough, so I know how I can get him.
Perfect. And since as you said, you've been doing this long enough, how long have you been involved with WXW? And specifically, now you're the coach of the WXW Academy. How long has it been for you?
I mean, it depends how you wanna look at it. I had my very first match was in a WXW ring, even though I'm from Austria. I had my very first match in a WXW ring. So, if you wanna see it like that, WXW has been there pretty much my whole career.
Okay.
But that's, I should say, that's a little bit misleading, I guess, because I wasn't working for WXW from that point on to this day. But so my re-debut in WXW, if you want to put it like that, was in at the end of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've been a part of WXW. And yeah, so I'm basically part of the, how's it called, inventory? No, like, I guess you know what I mean. Like, I'm very...
You've been there a long time,
exactly. And this year in February, I got offered the job at the WXW Wrestling Academy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was happy to accept and move here, and here we are.
Because you're now in Germany full time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And the head coach before you was Walter, of course, another wrestler from Austria, and he's doing, of course, wonderful things over on NXT UK. Will that be like a career part that you've been interested in?
I'm not sure if I got the question right. So if
you will be interested in being a part of the NXT UK roster.
Well, I mean that's a very typical question, but how should I say? Like, I'm very happy with my situation right mm-hmm. now, but on the other side, if I would say no, I would be lying, but that would be basically my answer. If you would have named New Japan or AEW or whatever, like, yeah, any major company would be something I would highly be interested in. So and I think, yeah, if I would say no to this question, it would be a straight up lie, and everybody would know anyway. So, because it's always our goal to to make it as far as possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course WWE would be something that would be very interesting. I'm totally fine, and I'm totally okay with it if this never happens. But yeah, I wouldn't be, yeah, I wouldn't say like, oh no, this is something I couldn't see myself doing it in any way. So
yeah
I think it's, I don't know,
yeah, that was a cheating question, by the way.
Because, yeah, I mean but so if how should I say, there's exceptions to every rule, but usually I would say at least 9 out of 10 wrestlers become wrestlers because they were fans of WWE, WCW, or whatever, one of the major companies. I don't know anybody who got into wrestling because they thought that, and not a disrespect, but because Ring of Honor was the real deal or anything, or any other indie company. So
yeah,
everybody's dream is or was at one point to become a WWE superstar or to become a superstar in a major company. And
that's pretty much the answer I always get when I ask that question. Sorry for the tricky question, but let's put wrestling on a hold for a second. I know that you are a fellow podcaster, that you also have a show. Tell me a little bit about it, about the Blown Up podcast.
Yeah, like you just mentioned, it's the Blown Up podcast I'm doing together with WXW referee Felix Schulz, and also in the past Carsten Beck, who sadly passed away this year, was also part of the show. We've been doing the show for 2 years now, but it's not we produce stuff whenever we have the time and whenever we feel like doing an episode. So it's not like a weekly podcast or anything. It's just how it fits and how we feel, and if we feel like there's something or somebody we want to talk with or talk about, then then we'll do a show. Yeah, we do episodes in English and in, but mainly in German. So you can definitely check us out. I think, and that's also the reason why I came up with the idea of doing the podcast, because there's many podcasts, but especially in Germany, there was no podcast that was actually ran by somebody who's in who's a wrestler or in any official, is it an official or anybody really involved in wrestling? So I felt like there's a gap that we could close, and I'm happy how it goes. I'm happy that people also still remember us when we are not doing any shows for 3 months straight or anything, because there's no time or no motivation, and especially in times like this, like, I mean, everybody would have time to record podcasts now, but on the other side, you don't really, like, as a wrestler, you don't really have anything to talk about.
It's difficult to find the motivation, and then something that pushes you to do that during this time. I get that.
Yeah, and like I myself, like I'm a very driven person, if that's the right verbiage. Yeah. But everything, like if I have to do something because I feel like I have to do something, then it's not gonna, I mean, maybe it's not gonna be bad or anything, but then it's not gonna be what it could be if I really like put 100% into it. And at the moment, even though there's a lockdown happening again and you can't really do anything, I basically put all my motivation right now into becoming a better wrestler. Because even though we're not able to do anything physical, there's always stuff to improve on, and that's where most of my energy right now goes to.
Is it like something that you can work even without working out in a gym, like something, I don't know, your facial expressions or this kind of stuff, or I don't know, people used to take acting classes as well in wrestling, so is it something that you've done?
Well, first of all, there's no gyms open at the moment, but you can still do your workouts at home, like if push-ups. For that time period we're in now, you can keep yourself in shape or get in better shape with just basic body weight exercises, I would say. So that's one thing, and it can be tape studying, it can be practicing promos. I mean, you can do that as well when the world is basically running at normal speed. But right now, you can even focus more on that stuff because you can't do the physical part about wrestling. But at the same time, I mean, that may sound a little bit stupid, but the physical part about wrestling is actually not the hard part. Once you learned the physical part, it's actually not that big of a deal. And then, but I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't want to say that it's easy or anything, but actually, at one point, the theoretical part about wrestling becomes way more complicated.
Yeah, you get to induce a reaction to the crowd, create emotions and this kind of stuff. It's I get what you say totally. And talking about you as a wrestler, the first time I saw some clips of you, the first thing I noticed was your gear, because it is such a throwback to like the earthquake and that kind of gear. I thought it was something like out of time in a way. Was that something that you wanted, a reference that you wanted to have, even by using the name of Avalanche, which is another natural disaster, we should call it, or it was just by accident?
I would say it was both in a way. So I started out just using my shoot name, which is Robert Dreisker. I was using that since day one, and the nickname, or nowadays ring name, because I don't use the Robert Dreisker. I mean, everybody knows that my name is Robert Dreisker, but I don't use it. Yeah. I don't get announced by this name. But that,
yeah.
So the name Avalanche came along very naturally. That just evolved because I was doing like the splash into the corner, and yeah. I think at the time it was, I think it was Christian Jacoby on commentary. Who was just always pointing out that I would squish my opponents in the corner like an avalanche.
Like an avalanche, yeah.
Yeah, and from there, and that's where basically this whole thing sparked. And then I just took it and made it my own basically. And it was, but it was never intended to be a ripoff or anything of John Tenta.
Yeah.
That was totally not the case. And are you referring to the red and black singlet I used for a while?
But even the one that you have now, which if I'm not mistaken is like black and blue and gray and this kind of tonality, it reminds me, like, even the style of the design in general,
yeah,
reminds me of that style, of that mid 90s style.
The thing is, since I can remember, I got referred to guys like Earthquake, Typhoon, Bam Bam Bigelow, Vader.
Yeah.
Like that's always really from day one when I started out. And I mean, don't get me wrong, that's a high praise when somebody when somebody tells you like, hey, you remind me of Bam Bam Bigelow, Vader, or whoever it is. That's a very big praise. So I'm very happy about that. But I don't feel like I did really do too much to get put into that direction. You know what I mean? It was more people seeing something that reminded them of those guys. It wasn't necessarily me trying to be one of those guys, even though I like the style, especially of Bam Bam Bigelow. And of course, there's some influence, especially from Bam Bam Bigelow in my style. But it was never intentionally from my side. It was more something that people would come up with. Even like I remember a training seminar with Adam Pearce.
Yeah.
And I think it was, we were 2 minutes in, and then he stopped the training and told the office guys who've been at ringside as well, oh, this guy reminds me of Vader. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I think I fell for that too, but it is you're right, it's not because of the actual wrestling style that you have, is more of because of the gear, probably the presentation and the gear that we do this mental association with something that we've seen before. That's so true. And who do you feel like your style is more similar to?
That's a tough question because I try. How should I say? Like, I mean, of course, I'm doing the more, you could say I'm doing like powerhouse or big guy stuff. Yeah, that's totally true. And I mean, everything else wouldn't make sense because I am a big guy, especially for the indies. Maybe not for WWE, but in on the indie circuit, I'm certainly pretty much up there when it comes to size and weight and all that. So it's kind of clear that my style goes into that direction. But recently, especially now that I'm the WXW head coach, I started to wrestle a little bit more, because there were years, especially when my character, like when we had the Cerberus stable, for example, where this where it was like those crazy guys put together, and everybody was like out of their mind. I didn't do any wrestling, so you would never see me do a side headlock or wrist lock or whatever. But now, since my since I started out as the WXW head coach, I also felt like, hey, I need to evolve my wrestling style a little bit, to also portray my real life job in the wrestling ring. So I don't know if you would ask me, I would say my personal wrestling style, if you want me to put it in like categories, I would say it's something between late 80s, early 90s, NWA, WCW, and Japanese strong style. So
that's a hell of a choice, hell of a category to pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I've spent some time in Japan, and obviously that was a big influence on my style as well. And just from a personal taste, I really like the from the mid 80s on NWA stuff and the early 90s WCW stuff. That's just, I don't know, I like it. I like how it was back then, because it was great wrestling, but it wasn't, I don't know, like when I put it on, it just felt, it wasn't the prettiest product, but it felt real to some extent. And that's how I like wrestling to be. I personally think wrestling doesn't always have to be pretty. Wrestling has to be believable in the first place, and Japanese wrestling is very believable too, so I think that's a good mix. And that would be how I would put myself into a category, I would say.
Is that also what you try to teach to your students?
So first of all, I think the major thing is that there's not that one answer how wrestling works, and it's basically all about there's many different styles, and I respect every style. Like, I love, like, as a kid and also right now, I love cruiserweight wrestling, but I could never be a cruiserweight. I mean, I could, but I don't plan on losing like 60 kilos to to become a cruiserweight. So I love it. I also like there's stuff about lucha wrestling that I really like, but at the same time there's stuff about lucha wrestling that I don't get at all, because it's not because it's not a cultural thing for me, you know. Like, I see it from the outside, and I feel like I don't get it. I mean,
the total lack of rules sometimes it's disturbing. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I try to teach people at the academy that wrestling should be credible.
Yeah.
That but at the same time to be open minded about input from somebody else, because I didn't invent wrestling, so my thoughts about wrestling are not the only ones that matter. You know what I mean? So like Dr. Tom Pritchard, who was a big influence on me, has this nice saying of wrestling is like ice cream. Like, I like chocolate, maybe you like strawberry. As long as we're talking about ice cream, everything's all right. But if you come up with some sorbet, we're not talking about ice cream anymore.
Oh yeah.
So yeah,
that's a great way to put it. Yeah, totally. And well, of course, right now the gyms are closed, and I'm assuming the WXW Academy as well.
Yeah.
But normally, how many classes do you teach?
So we have 127 members in total.
Whoa.
Which is a it's a big amount, and we basically run training every day besides Sunday, and two classes a day. So
okay.
Yeah, so and we also have an apartment for people when they want to come. I don't know, when they live a little bit like in the south of Germany, but or anywhere else on the globe. Like before we went to lockdown, we had people from Brazil with us training, for example. So people come to the academy pretty really all over the world. And if the apartment is full, like we have eight beds, then there's a third extra unit for those guys as well. So there could be up to 18 different sessions during the week.
Whoa, that's that's a hell of a lot, and also a statement on how seriously WXW works and how wrestling is treated from in Germany and of course from that company. That's something that of course in other parts of Europe, for Italy, of course, is not like that at all. Have you ever had any experience wrestling in Italy?
I have. Well, I don't want to lie to you. Like I wrestled in Italy for sure, but I'm not sure if it was only that one time, because if it would have been that one time, it wasn't a good experience. That was for. Well, I think it was IWS.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know. It was somewhere in out of Venice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, out of Venice. Okay.
Or Venice, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was basically, I don't know. It was a weird show. Like I drove there by car from Vienna, and I had Michael Kovac and another Austrian wrestler in my car. I was the only driver. And I think from Vienna to Venice, it's like 8 or 9 hours, I think. Something
no,
like that.
I think way less than that.
Sure?
It's quite... I think not Vienna.
It took us like 8 to 9 hours.
Well, no, maybe not Vienna. Maybe you may be right. But from the border with Austria to Venice is probably no more than 3 hours.
Yeah, but you know, like from to the border.
Yeah, you have.
Let's say, like, and we got there, and like Venice sounds really nice, right? But it wasn't. It wasn't in the city center or anything. Of course, it was somewhere. Yeah. It was basically in bumfuck Venice. It was it was in the middle of nowhere, and we were like, I was already annoyed because I was the only driver, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And then we arrived at the address, but there was no venue to be seen anywhere. And then we just stopped at the very place that was shown on the navigation system, and it was a strip club. So we knocked at the door, and the show really happened in that strip club, but it wasn't an actual show that was planned. It was more like that every hour throughout the night there would be one or two matches. So basically, we got booked for a wrestling show, but that wasn't an actual wrestling show. It was more like a special thing that was going on in the strip club, which was, at some point you stop wondering about stuff in wrestling because there's nothing that can't happen. So with that being said, I think I wrestled like two or three like really short and shitty matches. We watched the female strippers in between, which was yeah, which was okay, right? And I think I had my last match at, I don't know, like 4 a.m. in the morning or something like that. And after, yeah, I mean, as you could maybe imagine, everybody involved, because nobody knew what was going on, was really annoyed. Also, there were, I think I remember one guy that showed up in a CM Punk shirt, which might be the only wrestling fan
The only wrestling fan, probably.
that showed up there. And then, yeah, we asked for the keys for our hotel room, and then they told us like, yeah, there's no hotel. So
Oh, fuck it.
I decided to, or we decided to, of course, to sleep in the car. But it was during the summer, so the sunrise came very early. So I maybe slept for like 45 minutes or something like that.
And also that place is full of mosquitoes.
I don't remember that, but could very well be the case. So I decided to drive home again after 45 minutes of sleep and wrestling in a strip club throughout the night. That was my Italy
Your
experience. So.
experience in Italy. Well, that's of course a story to be told. I am always amazed by how much of a shit show Italy can be sometimes when it comes to wrestling. I had Speedball Mike Bailey on the show, which I know you're familiar with because he's often in WXW, and he told me he just wrestled once in Milan, and it was like on a Sunday afternoon on a fashion show. There was this fashion show because it was like a new fancy shop was opening, and they set up a small boxing ring inside this shop, and they were basically having two or three matches throughout the afternoon while competing for the attention with the DJ that wanted to have more attention than the wrestler. So at one time the DJ op on the wrestling ring as well. So yeah, that was very weird as well.
I mean,
But I swear we changed. There is some good wrestling now, actually,
yeah,
even in Italy.
that's what I wanted to say. Like, I totally don't mean to bury anybody or anything like this. Like, I just recently met Karim Brigante. He was here with us for a week. He's a very nice guy and the good wrestler.
He
And I also
trained with
like,
Harley Race.
sorry?
He trained with Harley Race.
Yeah. He's good. I also think like he started out as a trainer for IAWA or something like that. Don't please don't kill me if I mix up the letters.
No, it's
And
IWA, yes.
I also really like the guys
Rising
from
Sun.
Bologna
Bologna
wrestling team,
Wrestling Team.
Red Scorpion.
Red Scorpion, yes.
Yeah, I like him. I like him also, like as a person and as a wrestler. So I've heard about Sun, but
Rising Sun.
Rising Sun. Yeah, it's still the sunrise from Venice that's in my mind. No, okay, yeah, I've heard about them, but I've never actually seen some material. But yeah, it looks like there's definitely something going on.
Yeah, they are doing really great stuff up in Bergamo, nearby Milan, and they've been featured this year at the Karat Weekend as well.
Oh,
They
yeah.
had one match with Nico Inverardi versus Luca De Pazzi for the Rising Sun Championship title. And yeah, they've been doing things the right way before Corona strike, and now everything is kind of on a halt, as you know, of course, already.
Yeah, now that you mentioned the name Luca De Pazzi, he reminds me. He has that like gimmick, like that snobby gimmick, right?
Like everybody says, oh, he's like Alberto Del Rio. He told me that during the interviews.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess you can. I guess that's how you could phrase it. Or that's yeah. I guess it's because of the scarf.
Yes.
And I also like. I think aren't they in a relationship like Abel, jockey?
Yes. Yeah.
Like
Yeah. They are together, and
I think
they're both
she's.
in Scotland in ICW.
Oh, I think she's very very good. So I've just seen her like 2 or 3 times. But yeah, there's some good stuff coming out of Italy for sure.
Yeah, a lot. There is also another Italian wrestler, D3, who recently appeared on AEW Dark. He did like a handful of matches now. He appeared even in WWE on Raw and NXT before with under other names, because you know they change your name when you go there just to be announcement talent. And there's also another Italian wrestler in Old Japan, Francesco Akira.
Yeah,
So
I know him. And not personally, but
we're getting there. We're starting to do the wrestling thing the right way.
I mean, wrestling was pretty big for a time in Italy, wasn't it?
Like you mean on TV, this kind of stuff, like
Well, but no, but wasn't there also a time where yeah, they filled like venues up with a couple of thousand people wrestling? There was also a time when I
not
think
that I'm aware
Rikishi
of.
was running a promotion in Italy, like Wrestling New Era or something like that, where.
Oh yeah. I think I know what you mean. Yeah,
I think they drew bigger houses.
I don't know that for sure. I know that I don't know if a couple of thousand, but probably 500 to 1,000 people. There are of that size, especially like as you mentioned before, like Red Scorpion from Bologna wrestling team is very good at marketing his shows, so he has pretty decent houses, and the one that I mentioned before, Rising Sun as well. There are couples of different federations in Italy who are doing their best to try to present it in a more serious way than what it was shown before, probably. So, well, Robert, thank you so much for your time. Thank you. Before I let you go, plug in all of your channels. Where can we find you?
Well, thanks for having me. So you can basically find me on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter at Avalanche DRSKR. Right up front, I barely use my Facebook anymore. So if you really want to get in touch, use Instagram or Twitter, please.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, I don't know. Facebook is just, like, for me personally, Facebook is just dead. I don't know. And also, if you want to check out the Blown Up podcast, you can do so on Spotify, YouTube, and yeah, basically all the platforms you can get podcasts on. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, there's just a quick question I wanted to ask you about the Blown Up podcast. You had some amazing guests like Jeff Cobb, Fabian Eichner. Do you have any anecdotes about those interviews? Anything that you want to disclose?
I mean, not really. I think what just helps the podcast as a whole is that we just know this all the guys we're doing this with on a personal level, and therefore the talks at some point like maybe go into a direction where they wouldn't go with. Yeah, if they would be talking to somebody who's not like in that circle, if you know what I mean. And also at the same time, I just like I don't if it's somebody I know really well, I don't hesitate in asking him like a question where somebody else might be like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I can say this or anything. So, yeah, I think that's basically. Yeah, what makes the difference between the Blown Up podcast and other other podcasts that aren't run by wrestlers is basically how people are talking to each other, simply because they know each other for. I mean, yeah, there's guys like I'm 31 years old now. Like there's guys I've been knowing for at least half of my life since I was 16.
Yeah.
So I mean, you just talk different to people that you've been knowing for such a long time. It's just how it is.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, Robert, thank you so much for coming. And see you down the road, hopefully at a live show sometime.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess Italy has to do, how should I say? Like, somebody booked me to erase that bad impression. From Italy, please.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try to make that happen. Well, thank you so much, Robert. Have a nice day.
You're welcome. Have a nice day as well.
Bye. Hey, thank you for listening. Before you go, remember that your actions matter. You can help build the LMW podcast community by following Frank on Twitter and other social medias by searching at LMW Podcast. Visit the official website, which is lmwpodcast.com. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and a follow on Spotify. Extra kindness points for you if you become a supporter on Patreon, Ko-fi and PayPal, or if you buy some merchandise from the official LMW store. I've been Frank Mandolini, and you stay safe.